Chapter 1. The First Reason. Sharing the Consequences of Original Sin. Of the many reasons why you must suffer, the first and principal one is this. As a child of Adam and a member of the great human family, you must, like all the rest of men, endure your share of the painful consequence of original sin. If there had been no original sin, suffering would be unknown among the children of men. Conditions of life would be entirely different than they are now, for we would be living in that state of marvelous perfection in which Adam was created, a perfection which would exclude every physical and moral evil more effectually than the bright rays of the rising sun banish from the earth the darkness of night. But in what would this perfection consist? It would consist, in the first place, in the endowments of what is called pure human nature. By this is meant that we would possess the faculties of our soul, memory, understanding, and free will, the members, organs, and senses of our body, and that degree of completeness which would be required to make us what we were designed to be, rational beings, composed of a spiritual soul and an animal body. We would possess, without any defect or deficiency, all the qualities necessary to make us perfect in our order of being. A keen mind, a faithful memory, a strong will, and perfection, bodily form, beauty, health, and vigor. There would be an entire absence of those numerous defects of soul and body which we now labor under because of the deterioration brought on by sin. In the second place, we would be enriched with the endowments of what is known as a perfection of supernature. At our entrance into the world, the gift of supernatural grace would be conferred on us, by which we would be elevated high above the plane of pure nature, and adopted by God as His most dear children, with the right and title to the endless enjoyment of the glory of heaven. After having lived in bliss and happiness on this earth for the length of time decreed by God, we would be translated, without tasting the bitterness of death, into, quote, the kingdom prepared for us from the foundation of the world, unquote. In the third place, this elevation to the state of supernature would include the bestowal of a number of extraordinary endowments which constitute what is called the perfection of preternature. We would possess an extensive knowledge of natural and supernatural truths. We would be free from ignorance and from liability to error in the acquisition of new knowledge. We would also be free from evil concupiscence, because our inclinations and the so-called passions would be so perfectly at the command of the will that they could not become rebellious nor impel us to commit sin. In addition, we would possess two very remarkable endowments, the one of impassibility or freedom from every form of suffering, and the other of immortality or freedom from the painful ordeal of death. God created man incorruptible and immortal. Death was not meant for him. In a word, we should be all the happy heirs to that vast assemblage of wonderful gifts which Adam received in his creation, and which he possessed up to the moment of his fall from grace. The effects produced by our disinheritance are the following. First, we were completely stripped of all the endowments of supernature. We lost sanctifying grace, and with it the sonship of children of God, and the right and title to heaven. No longer well-beloved children of God, we were children of wrath and outcasts from our home in heaven. Only for the redeeming grace of Jesus Christ, heaven would have remained closed against us forever. Second, we also completely lost all the endowments of preternature, our freedom from ignorance, concupiscence, sufferings, and death. Our intellect has become clouded, our will greatly weakened, and our passions have grown turbulent and rebellious. We suffer much from sickness and disease, from the elements, from accidents and catastrophes, from famines and wars. We must endure the natural results of our own sins and of the sins of others, such as unkindness, hatred, deceit, injustice, oppression, cruelty, and the like. And finally, we must undergo the penalty of death. Quote, "It is appointed unto men once to die," unquote. Third, while we did not incur the loss of the grace of pure nature, since these are essential for our existence as human beings, we nevertheless suffered a great deterioration in them. Our natural faculties were much impaired. Our intellect lost its former keenness and wide range of perception. The reason became clouded and liable to every kind of error. The will was so weakened that it became the plaything of the passions, which, like rebellious slaves, usurped the dominion that was formerly exercised by the reason and the will. As a consequence, we find that they keep impelling us into the commission of all kinds of sinful excesses. The final outcome of our disinheritance can be summed up as follows. Left to ourselves and unaided by grace, we tend towards sin as naturally as a stone is drawn to the earth by gravity. As readily as a boat that is caught in a strong current is carried downstream. Sin is a deadly poison to soul and body alike. It invariably produces spiritual and physical deterioration. Of course, with the help of grace, it is possible to resist the allurements of sin. But as the greater number of men reject this God-given help, vice and crime inevitably abound, directly producing the distressing conditions we witness on every side. In the words of the prophet Osi, quote, "There is no truth, there is no mercy, there is no knowledge of God in the land. Cursing and lying and killing and theft and adultery have overflowed, and blood have touched blood." Unquote. Thus were all the evils that afflict mankind introduced into the world by original sin.